Okay. First, I want to wish everybody a healthy and happy summer. I hope Pesach was nice, and we are having a few lessons till the end of the semester, two on Chumash Bar Midbar, I think, and one on Shavuot. Okay, so we discussed Bereshit, Shmot, and Vayikra. I want briefly to just mention what's the theme or feature of those Chumashim and connect them to each other, and then we'll go to Bamidbar because it's a continuity. Okay, so Bereshit, we said, is Yetzirah, the book of creation, and we speak about physical and spiritual creation. Physical creation is the first Perek, Briyas HaOlam, and then it's the creation of the nucleus of the Jewish people. The Sefer ends with the 70 people of the family of Yaakov who are going down to Mitzrayim. So we are switching now from the stage of creating the roots, the seeds, the DNA, to the tree that is growing out of it, the nation. Up till now it's individuals, from now on it's the nation. And Sefer Shmot is the creation of Klal Israel via preparation in exile, then the giving of the Torah, the building of the Mishkan, and it ends with the presence of Hashem, the Shekhinah, dwells in the Mishkan to the extent that Moshe Rabbeinu cannot come in. What is basically reaching the level that they are supposed to reach, to create a place for the dwelling of the divine here on earth. That's the Sefer of Shmot. The Sefer Vayikra is a Sefer of Mitzvot, and we said that the Mitzvot that are mentioned in Sefer Vayikra are the Mitzvot that speak about holiness, Kedusha, and it's the instructions of the mission statement of Klal Israel, V'atem Ki'uli Mamlechet Kohanim V'goy Kadosh. We are supposed to be a holy nation, right? So this Sefer teaches us how to maintain holiness. We spoke about holiness in Olam, Shana, and Nefesh, in space, time, and people, right? And we said that by keeping this mitzvot, we'll be able to maintain the level that Klal Yisroel reached at the end of Chumash Shvot, meaning the presence of the divine is in the midst of them. So that's where we are at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. So in terms of the story, it's a continuation of the end of Shmot. Klal Yisroel reached a peak. They were given a manual how to maintain it, and now we are going into the story of what happened really, right? They got a mission, they reached a peak, they got a manual on how to maintain it, and now we are going further. What happened after? If we look at the book of Bamidbar, the first part of the book of Bamidbar, till somewhere in Perek Yud, from Aleph till Yud Perek, Perek Yud, Posuk, I'll soon tell you which one, till Posuk Lamed Hey, in Perek Yud, the first part, is describing Klal Yisroel on a very, very high level. And I want to read the Hakdomer of the Ramban to Chumash Bamidbar that connects the two, what happened in the book, in the Sefer of Shmot and the book of Bamidbar. And we'll see how it continues. So he says as follows: after he explained the Torah of the Korbanot in the book of Vayikra, in the third book, now he starts to discuss, the Torah starts to discuss all the mitzvot that have to do with Ohel Moed. Okay, so Sefer Vayikra is the Korbanot, Sefer Bamidbar is Ohel Moed. And Kvar izir al tumat mikdash vekodashav ledorot. There is an obligation to treat the Ohel Moed like a makom kadosh, like a holy place. The divine presence is there. And now, and that's the sentence I want to discuss, ata yagbil et ha-mishkan biyoto b'midbar, kasher yagbil har Sinai biyot ha-kavod sham. The Rabban says, if we look at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, the first part, till Perek Yud, right? We will see that there are many parallels between what is discussed here in Sefer Bamidbar and what is discussed in Har Sinai. He connects the two, the day of the giving of the Torah, whatever took place on Har Sinai, and whatever takes place in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar. And why so? Because if we think about it, they have something in common. What is the specialty of Har Sinai? That Hashem went down to the mountain to give Klal Yisrael, on the mountain to give Klal Yisrael a Torah. And that's the term the Torah uses there, Vayered Hashem al ha'ar, meaning the presence of Hashem was on the Har at the time of the giving of the Torah. But it lasted only one day, only at the time of the giving of the Torah. After the giving of the Torah, there is no holiness to Har Sinai. If we would have known where exactly is Har Sinai today, we can climb it up. Even animals can climb it up the mountain. There is no Kedusha after Hashem departed. It was a temporary thing for the time being, for the giving of the Torah. At the time that the Kavod was on Har Sinai, that the divine was on Har Sinai, there were special obligations how to behave. Moshe Rabbeinu could come to one level, Aharon, lower the Kohanim, even lower, and Klal Yisrael could not touch the mountain, let alone animals had to be kept away and make sure that they won't touch the mountain, because that's the way to treat a place that Hashem is there, right? There were special halachas about it. And he warned them. Ven yersu el Hashem lirot, right? They had to keep these boundaries that Hashem told them to keep at the time of the giving of the Torah. And we find the same concept in the Mishkan. If you look at the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar tells us how the Jewish people are supposed to camp. And as we know, there are three camps. The Kohanim can come to a certain place. They can come into Ohel Moed itself too, but only to the Kodesh, right? Only the Kohen Gadol can come to the Kodesh Kodashim, the Holy of Holies, once a year, only after a lot of preparation, right? But the Kohanim can come into the Beit HaMikdash itself. The Leviim are the camp after, and the Jewish people after. And people cannot cross the boundaries in terms of camping. Everyone is permitted to come to wherever is permitted to come, and no further than this, right? Why? Again, because it's a place of the dwelling of the divine, and it has to be treated with this in mind, right? Nobody can come into a palace just like this without any permission, without any boundaries, without any limitations. It's the place of the king, right? So he connects the two. What tells us, in other words, that basically, while the Jewish people were in the Midbar, they were like in front of Har Sinai. That on a daily basis, on an ongoing basis, Klal Yisrael lived around the presence of Hashem. Hashem in the Mishkan was in the center of the camp, and as we know, three shvatim in each direction, each one assigned to his particular place, but all of them equally distant from the place where the divine rests, where the divine dwells. And it indicates a level that is beyond imagination, right? Being next to Har Sinai on an ongoing basis, because the Shechina is there. Har Sinai, as great as it was one day story. Obviously, there were aspects in Har Sinai that make it very special and are not related to what we are discussing, but in terms of the presence of the divine, the Mishkan is greater than Har Sinai because it's ongoing. And it has to be treated in a very particular way. So there are many mitzvot in the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, in the first part of Chumash Bamidbar, that teach us how to be around the Mishkan, and the Rabban uses a chazal that says, אינו דומה פלטרין של מלך שיש לו שומרים לפלטרין שאין לו שומרים. A palace that has guards around it cannot be compared to a palace that is open, you know, and everybody can come and go. Obviously, the greater the place, the more value there is to the place. There is a need for shomrim, for guards around it. So Klal Yisrael reached a very, very high level in the Midbar, to the extent that it was compared to the way the Malochim, the angels, are around the Kisei HaKavod, and we are told that when Klal Yisrael saw Hashem, so to speak, coming down to Har Sinai with the Malochim, they desired to be arranged in this order that they were organized, and Hashem granted it to them in the camping in the Midbar. So it's a very, very high madrega, very, very high level, a peak that Klal Yisrael reached. If you want to use the famous Posokin Tehillim, we'll say that they came to the point of Mi'a Ale Be'ar Hashem. They are at the top of the mountain of Hashem. Hashem is in the middle, they are around, very close relationship, unbelievable. They reached the peak, Mi'a Ale. They ascended and came to a peak. But as we know, it's relatively easier to reach a peak than to maintain the level on an ongoing basis. The Mi'akum is harder than the Mi'ale. And the fact that Klal Yisrael had this camping around the Mishkan on an ongoing basis is the Mi'akum. And that's even greater than the Mi'ale of Har Sinai because it's on a steady basis. We all can stretch ourselves and push ourselves hard to reach a high level for the time being. But to maintain it, it's something else. So that's how the Ramban describes Sefer Bamidbar, and he says that the Sefer itself, the mitzvot that are mentioned there, were mitzvot that were applicable only in the Midbar, besides a few that were discussed already before, and the Torah adds details to them. And of course, there are reasons why they are there, but we won't go into it. But basically, it's the Sefer about being in the Midbar and the special life that Klal Yisrael had in the Midbar. Of course, it did not last forever. We'll soon see the other parts of the Chumash. And he says that the life in the Midbar, and he adds a point, Sefer ze kulo b'mitzvat aseh shenitztavu bahem b'mondam b'midbar. Mitzvahs have to do with the Midbar, and then b'nisim ha'nasim lahem. The Torah also discusses the nisim that were there. The man, the anan, the be'er, right? All the nisim that were there, the boars that Hashem fought for them miraculously, right? Different things, different nisim that happened there. Kol ma'aseh Hashem asher asay ma'em le'afli. It's a wondrous period of time, full with nisim. Full with things that are not here today, that were not anywhere after this 40 years in the Midbar, and it shows that Hashem asaimahem leafli, treated them with pele. That's the Ramban. After the first part of the Sefer, we find a shift in the events. It doesn't continue to be so wonderful. As we know, there are 10 tests that Klal Yisrael tested Hashem, and we have to understand this also, obviously, it's the bigger part in terms of psukim than the first part, and we have to understand what it is all about. In fact, Chazal says that Sefer Bamidbar is three chumashim. It's one Sefer, but it has three chumashim. The first part, Til Posuk, Perek Yud Posuk Lamed Hei, is part number one, it's a chumash on its own, and its theme is the special level that Klal Yisrael were at in the Midbar. Then we have two psukim that are separated from the Sefer by a nun hafucha, a nun that is turned upside down, and these two psukim are considered a Sefer on its own. It speaks about Vayi Binso Aaron, the psukim that we say when we open the Aaron HaKodesh, and when we put back the Sefer Torah, Venucho Yomar, right? These two psukim are a chumish. And then we have a third chumish that starts with the story of the Mit'onenim, right? And it goes till the end of the Sefer. And it's based on a posuk on Mishlei that says, Hatzva Amudea Shiv'a. It speaks about a woman that prepares a party and whatever, and it discusses the preparation, and it speaks about the place where the party is that has seven pillars, right? And the seven pillars, say Chazal, correspond to seven chumashim בפור חומשים בראשית שמות ויקרא אין דברים, and the three that are ספר במדבר. So we see something very interesting. It's three חומשים, but we don't have seven ספרי חומש. We have only five. The three were put together. What means that there is something in common to those three, something that connects those three, even though there are three separate things. So the question is, what connects them, right? What's the connection between the first part that indicates such a high level to the second part that divides, and the third part that tells us about tests that Klal Yisrael tested Hashem, and it doesn't seem so beautiful as, you know, the rest. Now, we have to understand, before we even go to the explanations, that this generation is the best generation Klal Yisrael ever had. It's the first generation, it's the foundation to all generations, and obviously, the part that doesn't look to us so, you know, so beautiful as the first, we have to learn it in the proper way, and we'll still realize and see that this is a generation that is the best of all Jewish generations that ever existed. It's not the only one. There are others. There are 10, right? And still, okay? So, we have to understand what's going on in the Sefer, and I want to go now to what we started with in the previous Chumashim, to the Midrash on the creation of the first day, and the fact that the word or appears there five times, and each one corresponds to one chumash. So we did already Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, we said that Sefer Bereshit, the beginning of creating something, planning something, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, then we had Vayehi Or, it's chumash mot, Klal Yisrael comes into being, what is the or, the light, then Vayar Elokim et Aor Kitov, these are the halachot of Sefer Vayikra, and now we come to Sefer Bamidbar. And the Midrash quotes the next pasuk in the creation of first day that discusses or. And this is Vayavdel Elokim bein ha'or uvein ha'choshech. And they say this is Sefer Bamidbar, shemavdil bein yotzei Mitzrayim levein vayei ha'aretz. The book discusses two generations. The beginning of the Sefer discusses the first generation, till the Meraglim, it's the first generation, right? Later on, there is a second generation. The first generation, as we know, remained in the Midbar, did not merit to go into Eretz Yisrael as a result of the story of the Meraglim. It was the second generation that entered Eretz Yisrael. And in this book of Bamidbar, we see the Havdalah, the difference between the first generation that came out of Mitzrayim, and the second that is entering the land of Israel. Now, what's the difference, and what's the meaning of it, and why is this what we say the theme of the Sefer? Okay, why does this include the whole Sefer? For this, I want to go to the Hakdama. I want to quote an explanation, just a sentence, of Rav Tzadok HaKohen, as we did before, right, who explains the Midrash. But Rav Tzadok HaKohen needs explanation as well. It's very brief, and we need to explain this as well, and we'll do it via other Hakdamot of other Meforshim to Chumash Bamidbar. So, Rav Tzadok HaKohen says that the difference between the generation of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the generation of Moshe, and the generation of those who came into Eretz Yisrael with Yoshua, is the difference between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebealpe. One generation can be described as the generation of Torah Shebichtav, the other one as the generation of Torah Shebealpe. And Torah Shebichtav is called Or, Torah Shebealpe is called Choshech. What obviously needs an explanation, it's a Torah, right? It's part of the Torah. What does it mean? It's called Choshech. But that's what he says. Dor Yosei Mitzrayim is a generation of light, of Or. Dor Ba'ei Ha'aretz, those who are entering Eretz Yisrael, is the generation of Choshech, of Torah Shebe'al Peh. And we need to explain it. So I want to refer to the Hakdama of the Ha'amek Davar, the Natziv of Valoshin, to Sefer Bamidbar, who explains beautifully the whole Chumash, and also tells us the Chazal about Dor Yotzei Mitzrayim, Dor Baya Aretz, and explains it in his understanding of the Sefer. So he says as follows. The Sefer is called Chumash Bamidbar, but it has another name as well. And this is Chumash HaPekudim. The same way that we saw that Bereshit has another name, Chumash HaYetzirah, Shmot, Chumash HaGeulah, Vayikra, Torat Kohanim. Chazal gave also a name to the other two Chumashim, to Bamidbar and Dvarim. And each name, Bereshit, Shmot, Vayikra, Bamidbar, Dvarim, as well as the names that Chazal gave, define for us what the essence of the Sefer is all about. So Chumash Bamidbar is called Chumash HaPkudim. Lifkod is to count, as we know. And when we open up Chumash Bamidbar, the first topic is really counting Klal Yisrael. And it's discussed very much in length, what we will, Mirz Hashem, address next time, right? Why so many repetitions in the story and so on, but the first story is counting Klal Yisrael. There is another count of Klal Yisrael in the Sefer at Parashat Pinchas. And because of these two counting, the Sefer is called Chumash HaPkudim. And it's the same question that we asked about Bereshit and Shmot. It's such a short topic in the Sefer, after all. Yes, the counting is described in length, but it's three prakim. And in Parashat Pinchas, the counting, another perek. So four prakim out of so many will decide what the name will be. This indicates the essence of the Sefer, how, right? So the Amek Davar wants to explain to us why this is a fitting name that gives us the theme of the Chumash and explains what the Chumash is all about. Okay? So he says as follows. He says, it's called Chumash HaPkudim, he brings the sources for it, ונרשם בדעת רבותינו, עניין שני הפקודים שבזה הספר, יותר משערי דברים שמיוחדים בזה הספר. He says, when Chazal looked at Sefer Bamidbar, the two times that the Jewish people were counted was nirsham, was like registered for them, as indicating the essence of the Sefer, more than other things that are very unique and special that are discussed in the Sefer, like he brings other examples, like the Meraglim. It was an essential event. It changed Jewish history till today. We are still crying because of the Meraglim, right? It seems more important than the fact that two times the Jewish people were counted. Birkat Bil'am, the broches of Bil'am that were said in prophecy and say what will happen with all the nations, including Klal Yisrael till Mashiach, and defined Klal Yisrael, told the specialty of Klal Yisrael, seemed to be more important than the counting of people two times, but interestingly enough, by Chazal, it was registered that these two indicate to us more than other very important topics that are in the Chumash, crucial topics that affected Klal Yisrael for generations. And this defines what the Sefer is all about. And he explains why so. And he says as follows. Mishum deikar ze ha-sefer. Because the main thing in this Sefer, in Sefer Bamidbar, הוא המחליף ומשנה הליכות עם השם בחיי העולם מאז שהגיעו לארץ ישראל מן הדרך שהלכו במדבר. He says the main thing in this Sefer is the transition from the life in the desert to the life in Eretz Israel. Life in the Midbar was very different than life in Eretz Israel. Was meant to be very different than life in Eretz Israel. And the transition between one and another is what is the theme of the Sefer. Now, what does it have to do with the counting? It will have to be explained. So let's go further. He says, Shebamidbar, what's the difference between life in the desert and life in Eretz Israel? It's quite simple. Shebamidbar, היו מתנהגים במידת תפארת שהלך לימין משה. I don't know what Tiferet Shalach Lemin Moshe is. It's more in the realm of Kabbalah, right? And obviously I don't know it, but he explains it later. He says, שהוא לגמרי למעלה מהליכות הטבע. In the Midbar, the Hanhoge, the way Hashem led Klal Yisrael was totally above nature, not bound to any laws of nature. Okay? ובארץ ישראל הלכו בדרך הטבע. בארץ ישראל, it was more like בדרך הטבע. And that's obvious in the midbar. Manna came from Shamayim, they didn't have to work. Water came from the wells that walked with them, right? ענני הכבוד protecting them, their clothes grew with them, right? They're washed and ironed while being on them, and so on and so on. The Torah discusses in detail all the nisim that the Ramban says also, right? That Hashem inhig otam lehafli in a way that was pele al kol pele, right? בארץ ישראל, when they came into ארץ ישראל, how did they have food? They worked. They went to the field, they worked, they got food. The same with water, the same with everything else. What we call derech ha-teva. And he defines it, and he says, בסתרי השגחת מלכות שמיים ברוך הוא. Meaning, they were still totally under the השגוחי of Hashem. Close השגוחי of Hashem, but it was hidden. When a person goes down out to the field to work and he gets bread, to see Hashem there, obviously, he has to reveal it in the midbar. There was no way to explain it, but that it's given from Hashem, right? Because they didn't do anything in order to get it, right? So, וזה השינוי, he says, this change, התחיל עודם במדבר, started while they were still in the midbar, בשנת ה-40. On the 40th year of being in the midbar, we see already derech ha-teva. And he shows examples. He says he explained it in Parashat Chukot, but he says the wars with the Kna'ani and Sichon was not like the war with Amalek that was before. In the war of Amalek, Moshe Rabbeinu stood there, lifted up his hands, and when Klal Yisrael looked at his hands and looked at Shamayim, Amalek failed. It had nothing to do with the fighting, with the war, nothing. It was totally miraculous. Later on, in the Milchamot of Sichon and Og, they went to war. They succeeded. Sichon and Og were very mighty and they succeeded, but it was a normal war. There were soldiers, normal war, no Moshe Rabbeinu standing there with hands up, and when he puts them down, unrelated to what happening in the field, in the battlefield, Klal Yisrael failed, and when he left it up, they win. Obviously, it has nothing to do with Derech HaTeva. Okay? He says also, גם המטה לא היה עוד ביד משה תמיד, אלא לעת הצורך כפי ההכרח. In the beginning, the מטה of משה was with him constantly. With the מטה he did the אותות, right, the עשרת המכות. With the מטה he split ים סוף. Of course, השם split it, השם ברו the מכות, but he went with the מטה, and the מטה was with the name of השם on it, and it was clear. It's a miracle, right? Later on, we find that he had a mate sometimes, but it went out. It was less and less, because there was a transition to Derech HaTeva, okay? And on this, he says, Chazal said, that Sefer Bamidbar is the Sefer that corresponds to the Pasuk, Vayavdel Hashem bein ha'or vein ha'choshech, right? Okay, because it separates between the first generation, that everything was miraculous there, and the second generation that was dealt with Derech HaTeva. Okay? Because in the Halichot of Yotzei Mitzrayim, in the first generation, היה אור השגחת השם מופיע לעין כל. Everybody saw the השגחה. It was open, it was clear. שהוא כבוד השם ותכלית הבריאה. And this is the purpose of creation, that כבוד השם will be revealed in this world. So it was a very good situation. The fact that Hashem revealed himself and Klal Yisrael was dealt with in a supernatural way is what he's supposed to be. They were on the level that they deserved it. And in this way, Kvod Shamayim was obvious to everybody, even to other nations, right? But when they came to Eretz Yisrael, it was already covered up. ורק המבית בעין יפה היה מרגיש בה. Only somebody who really looked into things saw that Klal Yisrael have a Hashgoche. For example, it could be seen on Shemitah, right? Even though they did not work, they had food more than the usual, right? And he says it was felt like somebody who goes in darkness at night, right? And from time to time, he sees lightnings. So the lightning shows his light in the darkness. So the same way in Eretz Yisrael it was Derech HaTeva. From time to time, there was something that revealed Kvod Hashem in open way, like when Yoshua stopped the Chama. Right? There were situations where Hashem performed miracles, but it was not an ongoing reality, day by day, in every day, taking care of needs and so on. This was unique to the Dor HaMidbar. Now he comes to explain why is the Sefer called Chumash HaPkudim. He says, if we look at the two times that Hashem counted Klal Yisrael, that are written in Sefer Bamidbar, in the very beginning and in the end, we'll see that it was different. There are certain things that are different. What is in common, they were counted, and a number was given, right? This was the same in the two. But how it was done differs from the beginning of the Chumash to the end of the Chumash. In the beginning of the Chumash, those who had to count them, each Shevet was the head of this particular Shevet. It couldn't be that somebody will count. Each Shevet had to be counted by the leader of this Shevet. The order was the order of the camping in the Mishkan. For example, he says, Ephraim was counted before Menashe. Now Menashe is the older, but in the camping in the Midbar, it was Ephraim and then Menashe. So being that it was in the beginning, and it concentrated on the reality of Klal Yisrael at this beginning, what was around the Mishkan in a very, very high place, right? Very high level. The counting follows the reality of Klal Yisrael. In the second counting, Menashe comes before Ephraim. The Nesim did not have to count necessarily. It could be somebody else. In the first minyan, the fact that the Nesi'im counted indicated everyone is placed, every Shevet is placed in a particular place. It has a particular role, right, that he fulfills and it cannot be changed. It was very open that it's a camping around the Mishkan and each one is connected to the divine in a different way. Later on, it's done differently, okay? So, that's what we understand, says the Amek Davar, the Natsiv. That's how we understand what Chazal says, that Chumash Bamidbar is divided into three Chumashim. The first approximately 10 chapters, then two Psukim, and then the rest of the Sefer. He says as follows. The two Psukim divide between one reality and the other. What comes right after? The two psukim of Vayibin So Aaron Uvenucho Yomar, which has a sefer on its own, divided with two nuns, right? And we are told it's a separation between two parts. What comes right after is Parashat HaMitonenim. Parashat HaMitonenim. It's a very interesting parasha in the Torah. Because the Torah says, Vayu Ha'am Kemitonenim. Not written mitonenim, but kemitonenim, like complainers. The Torah doesn't say what they complained about, and the Torah says a consequence. A fire came out, and some people were killed. What's going on here, right? Obviously, we see already a decline, because there was something wrong here that had a consequence that was not pleasant, right? There was a punishment, right? So obviously it's not anymore the high, high level that we had in the beginning. Now we have the story of the mitonenim. What bothered them? Amek Davar explains it so beautifully. He says as follows. Ki bishvil sheitnagu b'midat tiferet. We said, whatever we understand here, it means in a supernatural way. Because Hashem was with them, and it was very obvious that he is with them. And Kvod Hashem was very revealed, right? Ne'enshu miyad achar shechatu. As soon as there was something wrong, there was a punishment. But not, it's not the case today. or any time after Klal Yisrael left the Midbar. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. But many times a person commits a sin and Hashem can wait 50 years. The Chofetz Chaim tells about the story of a landlord who threw on a very cold day a poor woman, a widow with young children because she didn't have the rent. And he said, I waited to see when will Hashem react to it. And 50 years later, I saw what Hashem did as a result of it. That's what the Chofetz Chaim said. So we don't know when Hashem reacts. We do know that everything that we do will have a reaction, positive or negative, depends on the nature of what we do. But when, it's not obvious, right? Not so when they were in the Midbar. When they were in the Midbar, being that the presence of Hashem was with them, it's like somebody doing something against the king while being in the palace. It cannot be ignored. Somebody who lives in a village miles away did something about the king. Sometimes it will be the right decision to ignore him. Not dangerous, right? But when a person is in the palace, he sees the glory of the king, he sees his power, he knows who the king is, and he does something against the king, obviously it will be there will be a reaction right away. And this is how it was when they were in the Midbar. As soon as something was not perfect, there was a reaction. Now, this is a sign that they were on a very high level. If you want to get a simple understanding of it, if a person has two people that he has a relationship with, one that he has a very close relationship with, and one that the relationship is bumpy, if the person that he has a very good relationship with him will say one word that is not perfectly respectful, it will hurt him very much and he will react right away because that's the nature of the relationship. But in the relationship that is bumpy, this type of statement will not cause any reaction because that's the way the relationship is. When Klal Yisrael are in such close proximity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything has a reaction right away. Ki hayat sela hashgacha al yad yeminam, because Hashem was with them, watching them. ודבר זה היה קשה עליהם לסבול. This is not easy. This is not easy to take. You have to be on your toes 100% all the time. If you want to take a far example, because we cannot relate to such a level, right? But something from our life. Can we be as careful and as attached all year around as we are at Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur? We might appreciate it very much, enjoy it very much, right? Work hard to get there. But to be on this level constantly is usually above the level of most people. It demands of you to be perfect all the time. And that's very, very hard. So it was very difficult for them. And this is the kemit onanim. It was not a complaint about something specific. We don't have water, we don't have food, as we find in other places. It's a general state of mind. We are afraid to be in this place. We are not sure that we can live up to this level. Okay? So it started with the kemit onanim. Eventually it led to the meraglim. But if we want to understand the meraglim, we have to understand the mit onanim. To be in such a close proximity to the dwelling of the divine demands a lot. And one has to be able to live up to it. The whole story of the whole Chumash of Bamidbar discusses situations like this, where Klal Yisrael were afraid to be in a reality that demands so much. And obviously it shows the greatness. We find it already in Har Sinai, when in Chumash Mot, when Hashem spoke to them, and they said, we can't hear more from Hashem directly, let Moshe Rabbeinu hear and tell us. We are afraid that when we are given so much, we won't be able to live up to what it demands. And all the chataim, all the sins that are discussed in the book of Bamidbar come from this source. It's not because they didn't trust Hashem, didn't believe in Hashem. They didn't want to go into Eretz Yisrael not because they didn't trust Hashem that they will not be able to overcome the enemies and so on. Hashem said, Natati lachem et haaretz. In the first tense, it's yours already, even though you didn't enter yet. I am giving it to you. So they had no doubt about it, but they didn't feel that they deserve it and can live up to this way of behavior. So he says, Aparasha ktana ufayi bin so Aaron, vayomer Moshe. Meaning, the fact that Aaron HaKodesh is in the midst of them. When they move from place to place, the center is the Aaron. There are two ways how they moved, Chazal say, two opinions. One like a Korah, like a beam, and the Aaron in the middle. Or one, the same way that they encamped, the Aaron remained in the middle. To travel from place to place with the Shechina in the midst of them was very demanding. And they didn't feel they can do it. So this separates between the two realities. The reality of a high level that was envied by other nations. Other nations called Klal Yisrael to come and join them, and they said, we'll make you leaders. But they didn't want them to be in this reality because it was too much of a contrast between Klal Yisrael and the Goyim. And Klal Yisrael, of course, said no, right? But, and the reality later on, that was more bederech hateva. And this they felt they can handle more. In other words, what was the core of what took place in Sefer Bamidbar? It's not the fact that they didn't trust Hashem or didn't believe in Hashem. When they say, we can't eat the man anymore, we are longing for what took place in Mitzrayim. It was a great reality, right? In Mitzrayim. It doesn't make sense that this is what they long for when they are in the Midbar, given man, right? But what they said was, over there we worked for what we got. We felt we can get it. We deserved it. Here we don't feel we deserve it. And if we read how the Torah discusses the man, the Torah discusses it as a nisoyon, as a test, because it wasn't so simple. If I was perfect yesterday, the manna fell at my door. If I was so-so, it was some distance. And if I did really fail yesterday, it was all the way there and I had to go there. So I couldn't ignore my faults. And everybody else knew them too, right? And even if I didn't care about anybody else, who wants to face right away every mistake that they do? It's a very difficult situation. So they didn't believe in their capability to live up to this level. And that's why they had to spend 40 years in the desert. If they would have followed, right, Hashem tells you, you do, you don't worry, right? If Hashem said, go, go. You don't feel able to do it? Hashem knows where you are. And he will help you to go wherever you have to go, right? But they didn't feel confident, and they did not believe in themselves, so they needed training. More training before they go into Eretz Yisrael. And that's why they had 40 years in the desert with Moshe Rabbeinu, with Aaron, with Miriam, with all the miracles, when they didn't have to worry about anything else, and they could dedicate themselves to the preparation towards entering Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So that's the Amek Davar, and he explains to us why the Pkudim, the counting of the Jewish people in the beginning and the end, is the name and the definition of what the Sefer is all about. Because it shows us the way the minyanim were done, the way the counting was done, shows us the difference between one generation and the other. Now, Rav Sado calls it Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebealpeh. Why is this his explanation? How is it going with all that we said up till now? So what's the difference between Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebealpeh? Torah Shebichtav was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in a written fashion. Chazal say he saw written in black fire on white fire, whatever it means, right? But he saw the letters, he copied. He just copied. And they had total clarity. This is what Hashem said. came directly from Hashem. They had just to accept, to learn, to understand, to internalize. But it came from Hashem. It's in entirety. And this describes really what happened in the Midbar. Everything coming from Hashem. What was their job? To open up to it, to accept it, to become a kli, to internalize and follow. But the clarity was full. To the extent that whenever they had a question, and we find it in the story of Notzlofchad, Moshe said, Imdu veshme'am ayomar Hashem. Hold on, wait, I'm going to ask the source. I'm going to ask Hashem, and he came back with a totally clear answer. There were no doubts. On the day that Moshe Rabbeinu died, 3,000 halachos were forgotten, Chazal tell us, and the people came to Yoshua and asked him to clarify. But the time of Moshe Rabbeinu was over. There was no more Torah Shebichtav in this sense of coming to Hashem and saying, explain, give us answers. He said, go and figure it out. And it's written that Kalev ben Yefunye, Otniel ben Knaz, I think, yeah. Otniel ben Knaz, figured it out. This is Torah Shebealpeh. What does it mean, Torah Shebealpeh? Take what you have, see the reality, work hard, and you come to the answer. In order to be able to get to Torah Shebealpeh, one has to go through Torah Shebichtav. I went to visit a friend of mine, many of you know her, Mrs. Mina Glick, right after she had a baby. And I knocked on the door. She opened the door with the baby, you know, holding the baby, and the baby needed her. Yeah, he was crying, whatever needed her. She said, I'm in Dor HaMidbar. I give and give and give day and night. All the baby knows is what he needs, and I am here to give it. I have to be here all the time, right? That's Dor HaMidbar. That's Torah Shebichtav. Obviously, there are tests in this reality too, for example, to feel that I'm worthy of it, to live up to this level. Klal Yisrael had it for 40 years. Slowly, in Chumash Bamidbar, there is a transition to Klal Yisrael moving to Torah Shebe'al Peh, meaning figuring out themselves, things coming for them, from them, not just from HaKodesh Baruch Hu. And we find it all through the Sefer. For example, Klal Yisrael had to bring Trumot for the Mishkan. This was a commandment from Hashem, right? And the Nesi'im came later on to give offerings that they were not asked to. We know that each day of Chanukat HaMishkan, right, for 12 days, there was a Nosi of a Shevet, the head of a Shevet, bringing a korban that he volunteered to bring. So there is an initiative coming from us. The very fact that they went to the Midbar, right? Leaving a place that was very difficult, but at least they were able to live there. Who can live in a Midbar? They didn't know about the miracles that will happen. And they went after HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Midbar. That's already Torah Shebe'al Peh. It's our effort that is put into the reality. Later on, we find that they came up with requests for mitzvos. Pesach, right? Pesach Sheni. There were people who could not bring the korban on the designated date, and they didn't have to. If you can't bring the korban on a particular place, you are not obligated to bring it at a particular time. You are not obligated to bring it in another time. So they didn't have to, but they wanted to. It came from them. And that's how Pesach Sheni happened, meaning it was not directly given from Hashem like all the other mitzvot. It was given from Hashem only after they requested it. The same with Notzlofchad, with Yerusha of Banot, right? Daughters usually don't get an inheritance. What happens if there are no brothers, whatever? Then Achala in Eretz Israel, what will be their part in Eretz Israel? It came from them. Hashem did not give in the Torah the halachot of Yerusha before the story of Notzlofchad. It had to come from them. So we see that all over the Sefer of Bamidbar, mainly everything is coming from Hashem. It's still the generation of Torah Shebichtav, but the preparation towards entering Eretz Yisrael is taking place. And Eretz Yisrael is Torah Shebe'al Peh. Eretz Yisrael, you have to work in order to get. right? So you have to go through training. So in the book of Bamidbar, in the Sefer of Bamidbar, slowly, slowly, in terms of what Hashem does and in terms of what Klal Yisrael does, there is a switch slowly, slowly towards Eretz Yisrael. It's a preparation for Eretz Yisrael. That's the Hakdome of the Hamek Davar to the Sefer. To complete the picture, I want to add the Hakdome of the Sforno to the Sefer. The Sforno discusses in the beginning of Chumash, all five Chumashim. He asks the question, and we quoted him in the past, why was the Torah given in five books and not in one book? It could all be one Chumash, starting in Bereshit and ending in Leinei Kol Israel. But it was given, divided into five Sforim. What means that there is a point in the division. The division teaches us things. So all that we are doing is based on this. We show that every Sefer has a theme, right? And by the fact that it's a special Sefer, we are encouraged and directed to reveal the theme, right? So he goes with it, and he says the following. He says, it's not only that every Sefer has a theme, but where the Sefer starts, and when where the Sefer ends is also a lesson. It's not only that it's divided into five parts, but we have to see where does it start, where does it end, and compare the two. And this will give us more insights into what this Chumash is. So I want to show what he says about Chumash Bamidbar. He says, "V'sifer b'sifro ha-revi'i," Hashem told us in the fourth Sefer, "Ki chafetz chesed," Hashem, who desires to do good, right? Chafetz chesed, he wants to do good. "Tiken diglehem," organize them in a way of camping by dgalim, "ketikun merkava aniret bechazon leneviav." The same what the prophets saw in Shamayim, when they had open revelations like Yeshayahu, Yechezkel described what they saw when heaven opened for them. The same type of organization that there is in Shamayim for the angels, that's what Hashem established for Klal Yisrael here on earth in the desert, and this is chesed. "V'hayta akavana shekaasher yachanu kenisau leikanes ba'aretz teichef beli klei zayin." Originally, the intention was that Klal Yisrael will come after they move from Sinai straight to Eretz Yisrael. If not of the story of the Meraglim, that's how it would be, right? That they are on a very high level compared to the Malochim in Shamayim. They deserve Eretz Yisrael and they are ready to go there, right? "Uleman iskul lezeh," in order that they will have the merit, Hashem helped them. What did Hashem give them so they will deserve to enter Eretz Yisrael right away? So he said, "Sider mishmarot keuna ulevia, veivdil kol tmeim imachanehem." Hashem divided the camps into three, according to the level of holiness. It told everyone where to be. When a person is in the place that he belongs according to his level, then he can maintain the level. Afterwards, we have, if you follow Chumash Bamidbar, after the camping in the Midbar, we have the laws of those who cannot be coming to the Beit HaMikdash because they are contaminated, or to Machane Leviyah, or to Machane Israel. Like, Metzoraim have to be out of all three, right? There are certain things that expel a person from all three Machanot, certain things from two Machanot, and certain things from one Machane. And why is it discussed there? Because what's the goal? To maintain the level that will make them deserve to come into Eretz Yisrael. So if somebody did whatever that is negative, that caused them to be contaminated, the Torah gives him a way to purify himself again. He has to be expelled from one machane or two or three. He has to go through a certain procedure of behavior. And in this way, he will really maintain the level that enables him to go to Eretz Yisrael. Later on, he gave the story of Sotah and the story of Nazir. Sota is a woman that totally deviated from the right way. So there is a way to help her to come back to where she's supposed to be. The Nazir is a way to prevent a person from falling into contamination. When a person feels a certain tendency to things that he shouldn't have, he should prevent it by becoming a Nazir for a time being and heal himself. So all of it made them, says the Seforno, worthy of Birkat Kohanim. These things that we said, right? The camping in the Midbar, then the Tum'ah v'Tahara, how to purify oneself when he became impure, and how to prevent from getting there, right? And with Birkat Kohanim, because then they are worthy of it. And they are worthy of coming to Eretz Yisrael. So Parashat Naso ends with Birkat Kohanim. And he says, he also mentions in the Chumash the merits that the Jewish people had in order to enter Eretz Yisrael that we mentioned before, like going to the desert, the Chanukat HaMizbeach, the Korbanot that they brought, the fact that the Levi'im were chosen instead of the Bchorot because of Chet HaEgel, and the Levi'im and the Bchorot helped the Levi'im to get it. What is mind-boggling, right? Something was taken away from them because they failed. The Levi'im were chosen instead to help the Levi'im to get it. That's a very high level. Obviously, this deserves to go to Eretz Yisrael. And the fact that they went in the Pesach Sheini, and the fact that they went after him to the desert. But then he says, he follows other things as well, like the Chatzotzot, that we lead them into Eretz Yisrael for war. And then he says, he directed them till Kadesh Barnea. And there they were supposed to be from there to Eretz Yisrael. But Ke'adam avru brit, they violated the relationship, right? The Meraglim, right? And because of it, they had to die in the desert and they could not enter Eretz Yisrael. They were almost there, right? Almost ready, but they did the Meraglim, they had to stay in the desert. And the Sovevu, 40 Shana, Be'eretz Ha'amim, right? They didn't enter in Eretz Yisrael, they were in Chutz La'aretz for 4 years. But then he says, he told as the third thing, that Hashem still has mercy on them. And even though they did it, he did not cut off from them. He did not give up on them. And via the second generation, it was corrected, and they entered Eretz Yisrael. And he says, we find right after the story of the Meraglim, a few mitzvot that Hashem gave them. Tzitzit, Nesachim, Chala, that without going into details, we're supposed to help them to prepare for Eretz Yisrael. Because it's dealing with things that are mundane and showing the way how to sanctify them, right? And when Korach came, he says, Hashem punished Korach, but he didn't give up on the nation. He went ahead with the nation. Korach and his people died, but Hashem continued with the nation. And in order to prevent things like this from happening, he gives matnot keuna, the mitzvah of matnot keuna. Jewish people have to give matanot to the Kohanim. By doing so, they make sure that they respect them, that they understand that they are on a different level and it should not be questioned. Okay? He goes into other different details that I don't have time to go, but at the end he says, V'chol ele achar Yeush avotehem bekilkulam bameraglim. You look at the meraglim and you think it's the end. What didn't I do for you? Look at the first part of the Chumash. What didn't I give you? I was leading you without any effort into Eretz Yisrael. And you did what Adam HaRishon did after I gave him everything. Logically speaking, Hashem should have said, too bad, you lost the chance. But in every Chumash, he says, it starts on a high, goes into a low, And at the end, we have hope after Yeush. As discouraging as it is, as the end it looks like, there will be a new beginning. And for this, Hashem divided the Torah into five chumashim, he says. Because when we look where it starts and where it ends, we do see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us for good. This is a relationship that never can end. And Hashem will be with us in the process, even when we fail. And always will give us an opportunity to come back till the eventual coming back of the times of Mashiach will happen. Okay, we finish here.